Welcome back. I have sitting in here the one and only, the lovely, incredibly talented Aaron McDougald, who we were just sitting here before I started talking to you. We were talking to each other about how long I'd known her, and it's a long time. It's a long time.
I was a toddler.
You were babe in the woods. You're performing at places where you were not even old enough to drink. But you've had an amazing run here, Aaron McDougall. You really
Thanks.
Have. What brought you? I'm going to take you back because we have an entire hour. What brought you to Chicago in the first place?
College. I transferred from University of Cincinnati, where I spent my freshman year. I'm from a small town called Delaware in Ohio, right outside of Columbus. So I went to University of Cincinnati thinking that I could audition into their musical theater program because I had danced since I was three and sang, you know, and I had gotten rejected by UC when I was in high school. I had all these scholarships to other schools, but you've met me, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to get in.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, sure,
so
sure,
I spent the year in the dance program and auditioned again. And I will never forget the director there, his name was Aubrey something, and he was like, what are you doing here?
like great engineer, former engineer of the show, the only other Aubrey I
oh,
know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, this guy, he was pretty pretentious, and I have nothing, you know, tactful to say about him, but he basically made me feel like, you know, like I was an alien, you know, that I was wasting this. So that was really devastating, and I was like, you know what? My mom had always wanted me to go to Columbia College in Chicago, and she was a flight attendant up until earlier this year for 52 years for United Airlines.
Wow.
She was based in Chicago, and even though we lived in Ohio. And so she said, how about Columbia? So I transferred to Columbia and graduated from Columbia a few years later and
but you
stayed.
You early on started to explore the jazz scene here.
Right.
You met some not only, you know, the grand talents, but also these kind of performers, and I think this is so true of Chicago, who are not loath to nurture younger talents. I mean, they're not jealous of them as much as they are. I found someone who can kind of, not all of them.
Yeah, like,
oh, no. Not all of them, but a few who are very influential in your life.
Yeah, you know, Bobby Wilson was a big influence for me. She was a vocal teacher of mine at Columbia College. But Carol Laverty was a big influence. I took jazz voice lessons and classical to keep my voice elastic.
Sure.
And I think it was the wisest thing I ever did. I mean, I've been taking voice lessons since I was like 10 years old, but I kept it up with them. So it keeps your range in shape. And
you know, one of the charming stories is you used to sing for your grandfather?
Yeah.
Talk about that for a second. I find that among the most charming stories in the entertainment world, because it is charming.
Well, I grew up, like I said, out in the woods in Delaware, Ohio. Now I guess it's kind of a cosmopolitan area. But my grandfather moved. He's from Canada. He moved into town. Then he moved down the street.
Uh-huh.
And then
we
built him an apartment over the garage and lived with us by the time I was 10. And we'd always go to feed the horses together at the end of the street. I mean, I really was a little cowgirl back then.
Sure.
And we'd watch nature shows together, anything that would maybe let me stay up an hour later. And he knew that I loved to sing. And so I just sang anything. You know, I wanted to be Madonna when I was 5 years old. And he was like, let's try a little Nat King Cole.
Yes. You don't look like me. You look more like Nat King Cole.
So he, you know, was always playing. He loved Nat King Cole. He used to say that Nat King Cole could make a grown man cry.
Wow.
And my grandfather was he worked on the railroad.
Sure.
Yeah. You know,
sure.
Chopped wood till he was 75 chopped down trees. And so,
Did you even at five, did you warm to those songs? Did you?
No, I mean, I didn't learn the songs till I was basically in Chicago when I missed him, you know, and he was ill. And he was suffering from Alzheimer's and prostate cancer and everything else. So I was flying back home every month to see my grandpa, my family. But I realized jazz was pretty thriving, especially back then, you know, late 90s. And Chicago, there were more clubs,
sure.
You know.
Oh,
and
my God, yeah.
So, you know, I was like, oh, my grandpa bought me the Natalie Cole tape where she sings with her dead father. So I'm totally a jazz singer. You know, right? have all those songs memorized. How hard could it be?
When you graduated,
I found out the hard way.
When you graduated from Columbia, what did you think of as a possible career?
I knew that by that time I knew that I was going to be a jazz
singer. You had given up the musical theater dreams.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much within the first year, I was cast in a lot of shows when I was at Columbia. I did, you know, Rock and Roll Reviews. Mm-hmm. I did musical theater. I did Sondheim music musicals, and I love the music. But I just started studying jazz more seriously. Maybe the more I missed him, or the more sick he became, the more dedicated I became to learning the music, because he couldn't remember anything. But if you sang, you know, four bars of Am I Blue from 1923, he could finish the whole song.
So that kept the bond between you and your grandfather. That's really,
Absolutely.
Interesting. So. We're going to take a break. Erin is going to be here for the entire hour. You're going to hear some music that she's brought, and you are also going to learn about the August 12th 7:30 performance at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, which is at 201 South Ashland. You can go to epiphanychi.com, or you still have flappergirlsings.com?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done anything with it in 2 years. I think it's just a blank page now.
Well, you can still go to flappergirlsings.com and enjoy a blank page. We'll be back. We'll be back momentarily. Well, I'm sitting here talking to Erin McDougald, as I will for this entire hour, and we're really kind of lamenting, and we'll get to it, some of the troubles. I think this last 18 months has just made intensified troubles. Whether someone's sick or someone dies, it just has made everything more intense because people aren't out and about doing things. You're sitting at home hearing some bad news and then having a bunch of drinks. at least I am trying to get through it. But I think you need to hear, because she is one of the soundtracks of my life, and I can hear her in my head all the time. Aww. But I think you need to hear Erin, because she's going to be, it's kind of the coming out party. There's a lot of people, we just talked to Corky Siegel earlier, and he's doing his first live in-person performance next Saturday.
And that venue's gorgeous.
Huh?
Look, that venue looks gorgeous.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's called the Rau Arts on the Green at St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Crystal Lake. Erin is going to be at Epiphany Center for the Arts, which I want her to tell me some more about, August 12th at 7:30. This, ladies and gentlemen, what is Brett going to play?
Oh, the pressure.
He only has three things.
I know, right? I just gave him three tracks. How about a little Midnight Sun? Is that cool?
Brett thinks
your
it's cool.
Your lips were like a red Amubi chalice, warmer than a summer night. The clouds were like an alabaster palace, rising to a snowy height. Each star, it's on Aurora Borealis. Suddenly you held me tight. I saw the midnight sun. I can't explain the silver rain that found me, or was that a moonlit thing? That music of the universe around me, or was that a night? Your arms miraculously found me. Suddenly that sky turned pale. I saw the midnight sun. Was there such a night? It's a thrill I still don't quite believe. After you were gone, there was still some stardust on my sleeve. Dwindle to an ember, and the stars forget to shine. And we may see the meadow in December, icy white and crystalline. But oh, my darling, always I'll remember when your lips were close to mine. We saw the midnight sun. We saw the midnight sun. We saw the midnight sun.
Now, where's that song from, Erin McDougald?
This song is from my latest album, Outside the Soiree. And that incredible soprano saxophonist we were just listening to is the great Dave Liebman. You know him from Miles Davis. And
of course. Who is performing with you on August 12th at the Epiphany Center for the Arts?
Speaking of great luminaries, pianist Kevin O'Connell,
who I've been
working with now for well over 10 years.
Have you been working with him recently, though? Do you know what I mean?
Nope.
Yeah. That's virtually every performer I talk to, even Corky Siegel. There's not a lot of collaboration going on. Do you figure to fall? You've talked to him, certainly.
Well, yesterday I had a rehearsal in my place with him, and I was telling you during the break, it was probably a very difficult rehearsal for him because I'm like, I just can't do it. I can't sing anymore.
Angst-filled.
He's like, really? This is why we're going to spend our time.
Really.
He's like, seriously, kiddo. But he's phenomenal. He has worked more. He's found ways to work. He got COVID and then he got vaccinated, of course, and he and his wife. So he went through all of that. And I know you know what that's like.
Yes.
And, you know, it was scary there for a while, but he's great. He's doing great. He's been one of those musicians that have found work, and I didn't feel safe doing that. I just did not.
I know you didn't.
So now it's like, you know, I'm getting nervous, but he's so great. You know, he worked with Clifford Jordan for years,
And you know, I know you're anxious and fearful, but I think that once you get up on that stage. And you look out at that crowd and you will see a number of familiar faces, including your parents who were coming in. I think that's very, very cool that it'll all come back to you. I think for a performer at your stature and your level of talent, it is like riding a bike.
Right. I mean, he was like, it's not like you just forget how to sing.
Right.
He's like, you're just a little down. And, you know, he's looking at me. He's like, this isn't something you have to think about. You know, it's in you. But I think it's more of, you know, I've never isolated the way I did. And I really took the word quarantine literally. I mean, Rick, I did not leave my apartment, my 1400 square apartment for months and months and months. And I didn't walk out the door. So I think that it does something to you mentally.
Oh, sure,
you know, and while most people are like, oh, I can't wait to get out. Part of me is like, oh gosh, I got to be on again, you know?
Well, because
I have to be interesting.
Well, because it's different. Out for you is entertaining.
Right.
Most people who say, well, I think it's going to be great to go out are walking to the grocery store for a gallon of orange juice.
Right.
You know, there's no pressure involved in that. And there's no pressure in most people going outside. They don't have to perform. And I think that's the kind of cloud that is bugging you.
I think it is. And it's, you know, I'm sure the venue's thrilled that this is how I'm promoting the gig.
Yes. Come, ladies and gentlemen.
Come see her. 7:30
at the Epiphany Arts Center for the Arts on August 12th. You can it'd be like, what's that great Nashville or one of the movies where someone just totally falls apart on stage. Yeah. Come see Erin McDougald have a nervous breakdown on stage. It's worth it. The admission is only $20. You might actually get some music too. I know you're anxious and scared, but that too, there are a lot of performers, and you know this better than I, who are anxious before every performance.
Yes, that's what I mean. I used to be like that when I was young, when I first started out, because I knew how much I didn't know,
right.
And everyone was great.
Sure.
And so singing was actually a terrifying experience. It was like a gut-wrenching experience for the first few years. You know, as it should be, because I didn't really know what I was doing when I started off. But as time's gone by, it's something that I had always looked forward to. It's exciting. It's camaraderie with the band.
In a sense with the crowd too.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it's an intellectual experience. You're thinking very hard as a jazz musician, always improvising and reacting to the instrumentalists and they with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intellectual experience. So it's, you know, your brain is tired sometimes after 4 hours of doing it at a club or. But now, you know, it's I'm excited to do it, but it's like it's become new again. I haven't had this feeling in many years.
You know, I'm not a performer, but I think that's really exciting. I think that is a very interesting edge to walk with you on the stage. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I mm-hmm. think that's a very interesting edge, and it'll be fascinating to see how it informs the songs. We'll talk after we take a break at 6:30. I want to know what you're going to perform. I mean, you have a set list yet or no?
I was working on it all day because yesterday I couldn't even make up my mind in the rehearsal. Kevin's like, "We're in trouble if you can't
wrong?
Even
Aaron,
pick a song."
Aaron,
well, you know, when you know like 1,500 tunes,
didn't you know how to sing?
So I couldn't, like, I was like, well, that one's sad, so I might cry. He's like, okay, let's go with a happy one. I'm like,
have
I don't want to.
Have you done anything during that? And it sounds like a terrible time that you were locked up in your apartment. Were you vocalizing? Were you practicing?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for my neighbors, I have this fabulous jacuzzi bathtub, and I take baths every day of my life, you know, COVID or not.
Yeah.
And I sit in the bathtub and sing, you know, when the jacuzzi motor is on, it's really loud, right? But I don't think I'm singing that loud, except for I like to take baths at 4 o'clock in the morning uh-huh. with a little bit of wine. So my neighbors are like, I hate her.
Call the police. We have to call the police. There's someone going crazy in the hot tub. I think you're going to be fine and great. I've seen you perform in a lot of different places. The first place was this Metropole. Was that what it was called?
Yeah, it was the Metropole. In the Fairmont Hotel.
I remember bringing my friend David Manilow before he was around the time he invented Check Please.
Yes, wow. It was a new show.
Yeah, and I said, why don't you put her on the TV?
We were just speaking about him on the break. Terry Armour wanted me to. We went and did all the tastings of all the restaurants they sent us to, but they didn't put me on the show. I'm like, I had to go to all these restaurants I didn't want to go to. And Terry's like, it's supposed to be a fun thing.
Yes. I'll ask David when I talk to him. We're recalling Terry Armour, the great columnist for the Tribune, who died way, way prematurely. Coming up, Roger Badish with the news. And then coming up after that, Aaron McDougald and Rick Kogan. Okay, you folks, you should go to the website Epiphany Chi, EPIPHANYCHI.com. I don't like to insult the intelligence of my audience, but I'd just like to guide some of you to this. August 12th is the date, 7:30 is the time. Aaron McDougald is the star. Admission is only $20. She's nervous, as you can tell. So when you go there and just say, you know, when you see her, say, you can do it, kid. You can do it. Tell me about this place, Epiphany Center for the Arts.
Well, I think you know Mike Jeffers.
Sure.
So we've known him a long time now.
Yeah.
About 20 years I've been friends with him. And he's the entertainment director.
The one thing, Mike hasn't aged. I remember.
I know.
He hasn't aged at all.
I mean, like, he's like, got the face of an 18-year-old.
No. He's a very talented
irritating.
Jazz drummer, and he's a. He publishes a great still newspaper in which he interviews jazz performers and keeps tabs on the whole jazz scene. But tell me about the building. It's something that's fascinating.
Well, he's the entertainment director, so I just want to give him a shout out because
sure.
he's had so much on his plate, you know, with the COVID coming and everything else. And David Chase is the owner of the building, David and Kimberly. The building itself, I hope I'm getting my stats right. I think it's from like the 1890s, I want to say.
Sounds about right, sure.
But the venue is 42,000 square feet, which it's like mind blowing. And
yeah,
when you walk
really
through it, you have to take like rest stops, particularly when you wear the heels that I have on, you know, and all my heels are about this height. So,
So
I'm like, okay, you guys are walking a little fast. Let's just slow down the tour. But, it's this fabulous, gorgeous building that used to be was it a Baptist church? I don't remember.
Sure.
Was it? I don't. You're like, sure, let's go with that. I don't remember, but it was a church, and it became a landmark building in the 1990s, and David took it over about 3 or 4 years ago. It was a huge, you know, undertaking to just rehab
that.
The whole place,
yeah.
And they have multiple performance venues,
right?
Whether it's like their main hall, which can seat like, I don't know, 1,000 or
wow.
something.
Wow.
I will be in the Sanctuary, which is on the second floor, and that seats about 100 and 25-foot ceilings.
That's
and
a good size
gorgeous.
Room for you now. No.
Yeah. Let's hope. I mean, if people want to show up.
Honey, they're going to show up.
I'm sorry. All you guys are hearing is me laughing.
When Aaron used to play, one of her many gigs was at Syet Nova, the small restaurant on Ohio Street, just east of Michigan Avenue, which is, what's going on with that place? Are they open? Or
I have no idea. I mean, I haven't been there in probably 4 years.
Oh, wow.
I was there for three and a half or something.
And it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I loved the gig. It's a cute little Tuesday night gig.
I remember taking Fiona in there one night.
Yeah.
She just fell in love with
jazz. I have pictures
singing.
With her.
You got some cool
so
pictures.
Cute.
With her. But she loved it. She just said, Dan, this is a nightclub. I go, yes, it is.
And it's a very good Armenian restaurant turned into a nightclub on Tuesday nights.
But I remember the nights I'd been there. You have a ton of fans, Aaron. And I think it's going to reward you. Many of them keep tabs on you on Facebook and whatever this other stuff, but you're gonna feel very much at home, and there'll be some very familiar
faces. Exciting to hear from people I haven't seen in a few years, and you know people who are out of town. If you're not in Chicago, I know this show is national, right?
Sure.
So you can actually watch the show live online on live streaming for $10.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
that's interesting.
Oh my gosh, that's why part of my nerves. People from New York or all these phenomenal famous musicians. Like, I'm going to tune in. I'm like, really?
Wonder how Aaron's doing. Wow, that's a great deal.
I have people from out of the country that are going to tap in that have, you know, contacted me from Amsterdam and Germany, and so.
Oh, I can see how that would make you increasingly nervous.
I'm like, okay, well,
you got some guy at 5 a.m. in Amsterdam.
I guess it's time to start exercising again. I've got 12 days.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, the room itself is gorgeous. And for the people who have been coming to hear me sing for 20 years or whatnot, or the people who have just been coming the last few years,
sure.
I think that they will be just awestruck with the venue. I mean, I can say this in all honesty. I've played a lot of rooms around the country and out of the country. And this place is, it's truly, the word is phenomenal. It's an incredible venue.
Is this the first show they've had there in a while? It's gotta be.
No, they've been doing shows. I think they opened up again in maybe April, I want to say. But they were open and then they closed
and then
they opened again. So I think a lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I think that's absolutely true. It's a kind of secret place here. Let's give the audience another taste of you, dear. What's the second song you'd like to hear?
How about Don't Wait Up For Me?
Brett, could we cue up Don't Wait Up For Me? Thank you.
Don't wait up for me. Don't have a light in the hall. And don't leave the door ajar from now on. Far from it all. Don't wait up for me. Don't be a fool like before. Pretending you're not awake. All such childish fake is no more. Don't start suspecting me. Don't start trying for tears. Don't be expecting me. From now on, all your foolish fears fall on deaf ears. You love again, and if you do, you will see she's trying to be fair. Never doubt how much she'll care. Let her know you're glad she's there. She'll always be, and may I say, don't wait up for me. Thank you. fall on deafened ears, you may love again. And if you do, you'll see she's trying.
Welcome back. I have
we're just chatting away. Don't mind us.
Yes. Well, the stuff we're saying on air is actually better than the stuff we're saying off air. Erin again will be performing. It will be her return to the entertainment scene in Chicago, where she's been a wonderful mainstay and a delight and jewel for 20 years now. Wow.
Thank you.
She'll be at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, which is at 201 South Ashland. Look it up. Look it up, because you have to look it up to get tickets anyway. EpiphanyCHI.com. Concert at 7:30, which will be streamed live across the planet. Tickets are only $20. This place sounds, I have not been there, I'm embarrassed to say, but it sounds like a real great addition to Chicago.
I think it will be one of, if not the most important venue in Chicago for arts and culture and music.
You say they have a stage. One stage is for venue with 1,000 seats, and yours is 100, and they have...
And then they have different rooms that open up to multi-use for whether they're galleries. They have multiple kitchens. Kitchens that can open up, so they want to... Mike wants to start doing shows where... they bring in like famous chefs, and they pair music and art with the chef.
God,
and then he has this phenomenal idea where people can order ahead of time, like weeks ahead of time, if they're living in like Canada, and want to watch it live on stream, but also be eating the food that the people are eating. So they're going to make it and have it delivered. So it's there on the actual time of when the live stream is. I mean, it's really forward
idea.
Stuff. And that's Mike Jeffers' idea.
Wow.
I have to give the man credit, because that was really exciting.
He's been one of the most energetic people on the whole art scene in Chicago, especially jazz and music.
And a truly wonderful person, too. He's
yeah,
a really
a good
he's
guy.
He's a very good guy. You know, you can't always say that about sometimes people who are really great in their business. They're not always like the greatest, but he's totally genuine and
nurturing and filled with ideas
and nurturing of the scene and of artists and never complaints.
Eager to spread the word too.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. What is his publication called?
Chicago Jazz Magazine.
It's still, I'm sure they have a website, but it's in print, and I love to see it.
Yeah.
I love to see it in print. So what can we do, Erin McDougall, to make you not nervous about your show?
This has been pretty fun, I've got to say.
Good.
Seeing you again
nice. Wait, you hear yourself saying, we have one more tune to play, and we'll end the show with that. But you hear yourself singing, and you go, wow, that sounds pretty good.
Right? Like, if I could do it then, I could do it now, right?
Now, will you gear up a bit before the concert on the 12th?
Sure. I mean, I'm going to have another rehearsal with a full band and actually, you know, sing at that one instead of just, you know,
hum and ha. Who else is in the band? You mentioned...
Kurt Schweitz is on bass, and he's in a multitude of bands around the city, and he's just an incredible musician. He was also... a regular for a while on that show Empire on HBO. He had a recurring role, so I always thought that was kind of cool. And the wonderful Eric Monska is on drums. He's been my drummer for 15 years or whatever. He was with Patricia Barber, and he's great. And he's just, if anyone follows him on Facebook, he's one of the funniest people I've ever read on Facebook. The sarcasm sometimes pulls me out of such depression, you know? So they'll be in it. And, you know, I forgot to mention, I feel like a terrible person now. We've just been blabbing away, but a really good friend of mine named Trey Elder in Chicago owns is the president of this company called Quiet Pterodactyl. And Quiet Pterodactyl is a non-for-profit group that promotes independent venues. And they came out with the double vinyl last year for COVID to raise money for the venues part of Civil and Save Our Stages.
Sure.
So now they came out with the second one, and I'm featured on it. And so we will be selling that, and 100% of that money, all of it, every dime, goes to the independent venues in Chicago and the people who work there, the artists and the waiters
and the
cooks,
the
staff.
The busboys and bus women.
Right.
Women
The bouncers,
Do you think, I know you're an optimistic person. You ever have been, as long as I've known you. But are you optimistic that the entertainment scene, the entertainment and club scene, is going to eventually bounce back?
I always say I'm toxically optimistic, Rick.
Yeah,
I'm toxically optimistic about everything in my life, you know?
Sure.
But I do think I think with the institutions that maybe fell apart or went away, there will be a new insurgence, I'm hoping, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be part of that, you know. My dream has always been to own a jazz club. So sure. if anyone is out there that has just $1 billion and wants to invest in a jazz club.
I don't think they're going to take $1 billion. it would take some money.
They have $1 billion, then they could spare $1 million, right?
Well, but I think, you know, I had on, I was telling you a couple of weeks ago, Ronnie Marmo, who had been here for a very, very successful run of this Lenny Bruce one-man show, has been looking at different things. He wants to bring that show back. I think a lot of people are going to...
People need to laugh again, sure.
Be energized, and they need to hear music again, too. Mm-hmm. They need, you know, I'm glad Ravinia opened, but
it's a
different kind of scene up there. The whole notion of small...
Intimate.
Nightclubs,
It's difficult because, you know... The venue is now forced to raise their prices to make up for, you know, all the months of rent that they paid without help. A lot of people don't realize this. Civil Chicago, CIVL, associated with Save Our Stages. It's an organization basically that's trying to preserve independent venues. And a lot of people don't realize that the money that the government was supposed to give to these places never arrived.
Oh, I know.
Or was, you know, just...
Yeah.
Just misappropriated. It was a mess. And that's part of this thing with Trey Elder's project and Quiet Pterodactyl. The album, by the way, is called Situation Chicago 2. The first one is Situation Chicago. But a lot of people don't realize that now these small venues with these small rooms are forced to raise their prices because they can't necessarily be full yet.
They have to make up what they've lost.
And for the social distancing, it's really hard to survive. You're surviving by, you know, a hair, you know, just a shard of glass as it is.
Sure.
But then when you can't fill the place, by law, you're not allowed to fill it.
Yep.
And I feel like we're probably going to go back to that. We were talking on the break Lollapalooza.
Yeah, Lollapalooza and other things and people just not vaccinating. It's like, why not?
I don't understand it. It's
because you think they're putting chips in your body.
I know. It's scary.
It's irrational.
It's terrifying.
It's damaging so many people.
And the sad part is it's not killing the idiots who believe this. Pardon me for saying it. It's killing the people who don't believe in it or killing the people, you know, who are most vulnerable. And now that it's happening to children, you know, we have to be more cognizant.
Erin McDougall, is always lovely to see you. I'll remind people next week on the show about your show on August 12th at the Epiphany Center for the Arts at 201 South Ashland. It's $20. It's ridiculous. go to epiphanychi.com and check out the entire place. Mike Jeffers is kind of running the entertainment side, and he has big plans. And it could be, and Erin may indeed be right, it may be the venue of the 2020s.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting in artists, DJs, chefs.
It just seems
it's
like
incredible.
It's one of those malleable kind of places where you can do anything.
They're having weddings there. I mean, a wedding there would be gorgeous. You know, probably expensive, but
I saw an Indian wedding going on early this morning.
Oh, those are the best. They're so beautiful.
I had seen one years ago where it literally was in Chicago next to the Intercontinental. There was an elephant there. You have one more song. I want to leave people with the song. What's the song?
Unusual Way.
Would you mind, Brett? And thank you, Bet. Thank you, Krista.
Thanks.
In a very unusual way, one time I needed you. In a very unusual way, you were my friend. Maybe it lasted a day. Maybe it lasted an hour. Somehow it will never end. In a very unusual way, I think I'm in love with you. In a very unusual way, I want to cry. Something inside me goes weak. Something inside. looking at you, it scares me so.